Just a brief update for those that care and for those that don't. You don't have to listen, but the men's Bible studies are off to a great start. 32 different men in the church have begun the study and the last couple of nights. So that's a good number, and we're thrilled about that. So I think that's exciting. All right, let's begin with a question to get ourselves going tonight. Do you think there are people in church today that are members of churches that, even though they're a member of the church, aren't Christians? Absolutely. Wow. Let's think about this just a little bit. Okay. So they're members of churches. It makes you wonder, if they're not a Christian, why on earth would they want to be a member? But do you think that they think they're Christians? Okay, that's it. What does it take to be, so if they're thinking that being a church member, but they're not Christians, but they think they are, what are they thinking about being a Christian? Okay, so the idea that I'm a good person and I do good things and I'm joined to church, okay, anybody else got a thought on that? Okay, kind of laundry day, go wash my soul and get on so I can sin again next week. Okay, there's some that probably think that. Does a Christian join a church? Okay, usually. Does a Christian go to church? Can a Christian be a Christian and never go to church? Can they be a part of the body and never participate in the body?
No.
I don't know about that. I'm just asking questions tonight. I'm not. These are more.
Well, now when a person can be on their deathbed and accept Christ their Savior, they haven't participated, but they accepted Christ their Savior and they die.
That would be the exception to the rule, and thank God for dying grace. Yeah, but let's say the person is not on their deathbed. They've been a. They say they're a Christian. Can they say they're a Christian for 20 years and never darken a church door and be all right with the Lord? Really? Really? Can your heart be right with the Lord? Can you love the Lord and not love his bride?
No.
I guess I'm getting confused. Anyway, let's move on. How about this? Does a Christian... Huh? Okay.
Here's
all right.
Here's something. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst.
Mm-hmm.
A church doesn't have to be a building like this. A church can be two people in the house.
No, I didn't say it was a building like this. I said, does a Christian go to church? And I'm not saying...
It's a church. It's just their meeting place.
No, this is just a meeting place, absolutely. We're the church. All right. Good enough. Does a Christian give money to support the church, the missions?
If they haven't.
Interesting. I'm learning a lot of neat stuff. Does a Christian, to be a Christian, are they involved in missions?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's define what being a Christian is, because I think maybe that's where we're really getting off here, because I'm not so sure we're all on the same track with our definition of a Christian. What is a Christian?
Someone who accepts Christ as their Savior.
That's it?
That's the bottom line. I mean, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you sin, that he died to save you.
And if you accept that, there's nothing else that has to happen to be a Christian.
Not to be saved.
Well, what is being saved?
Accepting Christ as your Savior.
Just a one-time moment in history,
grace.
Then.
His grace is what is the key.
So you can be, like, say it's just a single moment in history. I fall on my knees, Lord, I want you, and then I'm saved, and there's nothing else that goes on. Huh? All right. The thing is, and too often the church has led people down this path, is that salvation is not just an acceptance of Christ in that moment. Salvation is a process of being. It starts in that moment. In that moment that I realize that I am a desperate sinner and that I have no right to be in the presence of God, and yet because of what Christ did on the cross, and if I embrace what he did on the cross and become a part of him, that is a beginning point. It is not an ending point. And therefore, to be saved is not just that moment. It is what transpires in all the moments that then follow. A Christian is not just I kneel at the altar Sunday and say yes to Jesus and then I'm done. That's not a Christian. That's the beginning of a road that you travel, but it's a journey. And I think too often people do get caught up in this idea, I was 10 and I asked Jesus to be in my life and now I'm good to go. And I don't have to do what he says to do. I don't have to be obedient to what he says to be. I don't have to be involved in the church. I can go out and do what I want because I've invited him, quote, into my heart. But have you really invited him into your heart if you're not going to live for him as Lord?
If you really invite him in, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. It's a process factor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a continuing factor.
It is a line in process, not a period. And the truth is, being the word itself, being a Christian, means it is not just a singular moment in time. That it is something that we do. When you look at every time in the gospel when Jesus called someone to what? Follow him. It wasn't kneel down and embrace me, and then you go your way and I'll go my way, but follow me. Follow me. Allow me to be, you know. And so, does going to church save us? No, not necessarily. Does giving in the offering save us? No, not necessarily. Does coming on Wednesday night save us? No, but these become reflections of a relationship, and a relationship is always a dynamic, not a static thing. And therefore, it isn't just a singular moment in our lives, but at that moment, we begin a journey with the Lord. And the thing is, I'm afraid too many people indeed do think that they're good to go because they quote, prayed some prayer. You know what? And I don't find that prayer anywhere in the Scripture. I don't find that prayer anywhere in the Scripture. Now, I believe in it. I believe that praying to embrace Christ is an idea that's when I say, yes, I finally realize who you are and I see who I am and I want to live with you and for you. And it's a beginning. But when you look at when Jesus calls, he calls them to be obedient. He calls them and sends them on mission. You know, the idea, we think mission, we often think out there somewhere, but if you were here a couple Sunday nights ago, what we realize is we're all on mission. Some of us are on mission in Turbyville, some in New Zions, some, you know, are on mission around the world, but we're all on mission for Jesus. If we are a follower of Christ, we are on mission. There is no ifs and or buts about it. He called us to go, therefore, into all the world and to be his witnesses. And so it's part of the process that we have. But the truth is, I do think that there are a lot of people that are on the church roll, and it scares me sometimes for them to think that they are fine and dandy with the Lord. And by the way, I do believe in joining churches. I do believe in that. I believe it is an expression. I believe if you love the Lord, you love his church. And part of loving his church is in a local environment. Because there's things that's going to happen to us within this local congregation that we can't get out by ourselves. Jesus didn't call the disciples to be lone rangers. He called them to be a part of a group. And everywhere they went, New Testament-wise, they were starting, they weren't just going out and seeing people saved and moving on, but they were starting groups, churches, in order for those that were coming to Christ in their journey that they could live it out.
And God did not
design
us to be alone.
No, he did not design us to be alone. He did not. Quite frankly, we need each other. In fact, I have said before, you know, the thing is, if I fail in my walk with the Lord, I not only hurt Rodney, I hurt you. And when you fail in the Lord, you not only hurt you, but you hurt me. It is a joint thing. And sometimes we think, well, yeah, I messed up again. Yeah, but I messed up and I affect everybody. I think it puts a different spin on trying to walk with the Lord because I realize it's more than just me. It's all of us because he's put us together into a pot and said, okay, this is where I want you. And now that you're there, I've got some special things that I've given to Eddie that I want him to do for the church. And I've given some things for Miss Gladys that she's supposed to do in the church. And I put you all together so that as a group, you now form a whole. And you're able to now do what I want you to do in your community. That's how powerful I think it is to be a part of the church. So I do believe in joining the church. But I am so much against this idea of people joining the church thinking that that's all they've got to do and now I'm good to go for eternity. Because I don't think that's true. And I think there are people that come to church. And all of a sudden, they misequate the things they're doing as their salvation, not as a response to their salvation. In other words, I come to church because I am a Christian. I give, I tithe, and I give above my tithe to the Lord because I am a Christian. I go on mission because I am a Christian. They don't make me a Christian, but because I am a Christian, I do these things. I do these things because that pleases the Lord. I do these things because, you know, it's in my obedience that I learn things about Christ and about myself that I can't learn any other way. So I do believe in these things, but these things don't save me. Christ saves. And he sets us on a journey. And being saved, again, is exactly as Dr. Blank described it, a linear line that really doesn't end till we get to the throne. A day-by-day process. And I think, again, what we do is we say, well, I am a good person. Man, I teach Sunday school.
This goes on according to the story of Jesus. fair in other ways? No, it's not fair, but that's where we're coming right back to this idea. It's all about grace. It's not what I do. I could go out and work all day, every day, and that don't earn me any more of a right to ever stand before the Lord outside of Jesus Christ than anything. And that was what Paul's contending with in the letter to the Galatians. It's a little different scenario, but it's a whole idea that what they were trying to do is they came into started out by already telling you that he was an apostle. He wasn't called by man. He wasn't sent by man. He was called by Christ. And now he's going to begin to say, the gospel that I preached, that people are now saying this is sufficient, that they're trying to change. The gospel I preached, he said, it didn't come from me. It didn't come from another human being. It came from Jesus himself. And to do that, Paul is going to tell us a little bit of his story here. In fact, I kind of like it because here's a man that has shaped the theology and the direction of the church almost from the beginning of the church. And the truth is, when you stop and think about the things we know about the apostles, we know very little, but here we begin to get a glimpse into Paul's life. And I think that's significant. He said in verse 11, I'm sorry. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And that's part of what being an apostle is, this idea that it came directly from the risen Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of the Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. And I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Did you know that?